Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you for your love. Thank you, Father, for every little blessings in this life. And for the many miracles, oh Lord, that happen to many people around the world. Father, you will be gracious to those whom you will be gracious to. For thou art the Almighty God and the Father of all. It is your grace and your mercy, Lord, that thou hast extended to us, that we may have this life abundantly in Christ Jesus. And we look to you, Father, this day, even though that we have heard the eagle scream, and have heard the midnight cry, and we have spread our wings and fly along with the leadership of the snow white dove. Thy Spirit leads, O Father, to bring us higher to where you are. That we may see, Father, distance away of what's coming and heading our way. And know that in the hour that we live in, Lord, we have seen so many signs. The things, oh Lord, that are out there on the horizon. Events, oh Lord, that are heading our way, coming to pass headlong into our life, Father. And there is only one great event in all these signs that are coming towards us. There is one great event that we're looking for, Lord. It's for that spoken word of life that will be spoken. The Lord that will change our body, that will change us in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, to where then we'll be caught up along with those dead in Christ to meet our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the air. We long for that day, Father. We pray that our eyes be always wide open, and that we are watchful and prayerful, Lord, and be in supplication, Lord, for all these things that we are seeing, Lord. Yes, Father, and for those of us here in this fellowship that are not been here for a long time, they perhaps in all their frustration. Some may not be frustrated, some are just plain lazy, and you know that to be true, oh Father. And we know, Father, it takes a miracle even from you to get these lazy saints or the foolish one to be set on fire. That they get up, O Father, from their slumbering attitude to come running back to you before the hour is up. We thank you, Lord, for what you have given us. America is all that every one of us need. And we are looking forward to it, O Lord, to touch all those who are far backslidden away from you, from your love, from your arms that shelter them, that cares for them. Lord, we thank you for today. Appreciate, Lord, all things that you've done for us, really. Really, Lord, we could never count all our blessings that we have received from you. A little joy in life, a little sickness sometimes, a little affliction that help us to be stronger, because you are teaching us, O Lord, to trust you, to put ourselves close to you. Oh, how much, what can we say, Lord? We are just so thankful. We want to bless your name, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We praise you. Hallelujah. All blessings, Father, we give it to you and commit all things to you now as approached our word. In the name of our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I don't know. It's been so many years. In this journey, in this pilgrimage, and you know, each time I recall the day that the message came into my hand, the Lord opened my eyes to get out. And I always wonder about how he had been dealing with my life, teaching me. I just wondering about Paul, how that when he left the Pharisees system, the Pharisaical system, and he was put out there in the desert for 3 years to learn. And that's why after he had got the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, he left and he went seeking for those disciples of Jesus to be able to check with them and find out whether his revelation was correct. And I was in the assemblies of God for all those years after the Lord brought me back from my backsliding into the world of foolish, you know, entertainment, think that, not that it's a sin, but it takes away my life and my time that I could spend with the Lord. And I cried like a baby. And when the Lord brought me back then, that he stopped preparing my life for the ministry and, you know, learning, spending time with the Bible, and he spoke to me about my calling, and he talked to me during the time I'm fasting, and I wrote down in my Bible, and I said, Lord, I don't know what to do with this, because, you know, I came from a family that could not support me going through Bible school. You know, I don't understand what was going on, and the Lord told me, you are called to do this work, and I just wrote it down. And it wasn't long when the message came in 71 that I left. And that's when I began to see that I have to do this calling. But at that time I didn't rush into it, Because the Lord put me out there in a mental hospital to work as a nurse. And that was my testing ground. That was the ground where He showed me about the human spirit. It showed me about those who are really mentally affected by spirit, and though that is all disoriented, there's schizophrenic, many are depressive, you know, paranoia and all that. And then I also see, on the other hand, normal people who are nurses, they have their own kind of spirit. And I was thinking, what spirit is worse? The one that were mentally really sick, or the one that were really appear normal, that they themselves do not know that they really are possessed by the spirit of this world? You know, and so that was my years out there, and some 10 odd years, and when the time for me to leave, the Lord says, it's time. And I was still wondering how that could be. And I have to plead, you know, when God speaks to me, I just, sometimes you do not want to do what you feel that you want to do, you know. And I put fleas before the Lord twice, two fleas. And let the Lord answer it. And it was not sooner than even just a couple of months, and here came Brother Ernest Horton, and he prophesied, and he shook me physically, because I just put a fleece before God a couple of weeks ago. And then after that was over, the second fleece came by within just about also about 2 months. So I had my vaccination and do what God wanted me to do. And even in so doing that, the first place that I visited that the Lord sent me to was India. And back in those days when I traveled to India, you know, I don't have the informations like you have today on the internet, that you can find out about the conditions and the weathers and the places that you visit. I know India was, I mean, India is, I mean, mentally we all know that India, well, it's not a clean place. You know, and the month that I traveled was the month of April. And you know, I didn't know what the weather is like. I know it's hot, because I know that Singapore is hot in April as well, because of monsoon. And, I mean, Equatorial region. So I went, and the brother, I tell you one thing, that I don't know why God dealt with me. Like in the hospital I worked, the first place when I left from the nursing school, I was thrown to the dirtiest and horrible ward in the whole of mental hospital. And I didn't know that it was the terrible, the worst. It seemed that God always gave me the first place to go, and the first thing to do is the horrible one, whether I passed that or not. So when I went to India, I came out of the Bombay airport. Whoom! The heat was unbelievable. The humidity was unbelievable. It was night time at 10 o'clock when I came out of the airport. And the pastor took me. I said, where are we going? So we're going to take an hour car drive into the interior. And just imagine, came out of the airport, get into the car, and hit 1 hour away from the city, into the village for about an hour drive. So when we went in there, oh my, we're passing through village in the night, and you get the driver driving, you know, Indian driver with all the cows in the village, going through all this little village road, and sometimes the driver have to jam the car because the cow just appear. And when we get into the interior, the temperature goes up to more than 40 degrees Celsius. And not only that, the humidity was so dry. The next morning I woke up with cracked lips. Second day, lips cracked so bad, put Vaseline, the nose stopped bleeding. And we could not sleep. Brother Patrick was with me, and we could not sleep for 3 days. Literally, I was like a zombie. And the Lord gave me an understanding. Every time that the Lord helped me in many ways. And I was wondering why I suffered. Maybe just like Paul suffered. Going through all these things, you know. On the fourth day, only the After the third night, the fourth day, I got to sleep. I'm just like a zombie. I don't know. I'm trying to keep my standing because, you know, when you don't have enough sleep, you're standing all like this. So God showed me what to do. All the events of throwing waters in the room, make it to go up, fill up the room, flood the room for by an inch because the doorway is always is raised up. And soak my whole body. I was wearing my underwear, soak myself in water, and the pillow in water, the bed is all wet, and just went to sleep. And we knocked out. And a good 8 hours sleep, and got up in the morning. The bed was dry, the floor was dry, the pillow was dry. So I survived that. From that time on, I learned to check up on the environments of a country before I build. And I wonder how many times that the Lord helped me to get out of situation and in places where I've been, bad hotel, bad little, you know, what do you call, home or little hotel, you know, out there in Africa where nothing is comfortable. Bed bugs and spiders and all. But in my heart, for what God have called me to do, I rejoice. And even as my wife going through all this, and with the church going through a lot of problems, there are times of depression in my heart. But I always look at the Spirit of the Lord touching my life, and I always rejoice in it. I don't let this situation bring me down. And I've seen the things that God has been doing in the life of many Christians in other countries. Even though I have been opposed so greatly by many, and now many of them, their eyes are open for the ministry that God has given us. I'm not worried about what places, what country or what nation they have not received the message, because as I said this, it is God's ministry. He had his fivefold ministry, and they are spread out and they are scattered. And God will deal with his own saints in different places. For what he has given us here, we hold to that which we have. Amen? And that we can share out with those that have not heard about it. And for the last few years now, I am rejoicing in the Lord. And even the last few weeks, and having to come across, I was informed that my brother Pierre Ruhana, or Peter Ruhana, or Botros Ruhana, that's the same name because in different languages. And so I was told that his brother Anthony Ruhana, some they call him, Brother Tony, that's Tony. You know, last year he and his wife had written a testimony about the vision and the dreams they had about the earthquake of California. But now he had other visions and dreams that was very unique. And so he put that all in the chart and sent it to me. When I opened up the chart, I was looking at something, I'm very confused, because there was no explanation, and all I see are the dates and the number and a little paragraph of the vision that he was trying to describe. And there was a lot of numbers, and I don't know what he was trying to say, so I called him on Skype and I talked with him. And then for about nearly 3 hours, the first time, to try to understand what he is trying to impart. And we have to read the chart a little bit, and then he sent it back to me, and there was still some thing that need to be worked out. And so we finally did it, and he said you need to write your testimony about the second dream visions, and the third one, and how you arrive at this particular date of the earthquake in California. He said, yeah, he would do that, because at first when I look at it, and I have discussed with him to ask him to tell me exactly what happened, what was shown to him, and how all this thing happened, because all that he had was, on such and such a date, God gave him a vision a dream, the wife had a dream, such a day, and so on and so forth. And that's all. But he said after several weeks down the road, the Lord started speaking to him, and in a very unique way. And I'm not going to tell you right now, but I will share with you when his testimony comes, and we are about to post it then upon the website. You know. And when I began to understand it, I could see. And you know, I want to say this, that there's a lot of number, a lot of patterns. So I remember what the Bible, God has shown me in the scripture, and which I've shown to you and share with you all these many years regarding a certain significant number. What we are looking at, the timeline of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, is it a coincidence that we have been talking about rapture for the last almost 3 months now? This perhaps is the 14th in the series. Is it a coincidence such that while we're talking about the come of the rapture, and here Brother Tony is telling me about what the Lord showed him. In our study of what we have on the chart regarding the placing of the seals, and what we expected in the events of the last day concerning California sinking. So all these things are coincidence. All this event that happened on this last 3 months, and that Brother Tony was able to have a chat with me over this thing, you know. And so I began to do another study on my own again, and just to refresh myself. And you know, I came across an article of a man. It's a Christian man. He said it's not about trusting the Lord or anything that God told me. It's just that he is one who studied the scripture. Because, you know, in the world today, seriously, Christians are saying, yeah, Jesus is coming. But how many percentage of the Christians are really, really looking forward for Jesus to come? You know. And out of this, how many are really trying to find understanding from the scripture as to the period of time, the timeline, there were some kind of signs or hidden thing that the Bible might be showing them? And this man was talking about the number that he was looking at. He was looking at the Jubilee. He was looking at the generation. He was looking at the 120 years and all this, which we already seen it. And he was saying that we need to look closer at this number, because they are not placed there for nothing. You know. Because in Christ, and I told you this in our study of the seven feasts of Jehovah, each of all those feasts are Yahweh's feasts. His feast is not our feast. It's not the feast of the Jew. But because the Jew have rejected the Lord and have fallen back and backslidden so far, that when you look into the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, it is now called the feast of the Jews. It's no longer the feast of God. If you do not know and don't remember, please go back, take a concordance and do your own study. You know, sometimes when I hear a person preach, or sometimes I watch a video, and all somebody discuss something, and if he's talking rubbish, I just forget about it. I just even don't want to listen to it. But when he says something that makes some sense, and he makes a statement. And I remember a statement, I'll go and search the scripture, and to find out how he arrived at this. I don't listen to go in one ear and out the other, and I expect that every one of you to do the same. That's why we need to study the Word of God. You see. So, we are looking at today, we're still looking at the rapture, how, when, and what, and all that thing. So to feel and see how close is the coming of the Lord. And I believe there has to be something that when we look at, that we see all these puzzles forming a picture. You see, or even the various different timelines, different prophecy and sign, all point towards a certain time. And that's what we are looking at. Some people say, I know he's coming. I don't have to worry. Well, I think that's a very bad attitude. You know, we need to be on time for everything. You know, yesterday's wedding, you know, the day on Friday we do a rehearsal. And Christopher said, yeah, we made the puncture. I said, how long do I have? Yeah, there was still 11 o'clock and, you know, and 10 minutes for the solemnization and 10 minutes or so for your message. I said, yeah, we have to be punctual because after this is what happened, this is after what happened, what happened. So it didn't turn out what happened yesterday. So, you know, the thing is that no matter how we plan it to be punctual, sometimes little hiccup came about. And I was told that, I said, what happened? The 11 o'clock was supposed to start, and I found later that someone was telling me that the person was supposed to pass the little pillow that holds the ring. It was not passed to her, and so call her, and it's been 1 hour, and they're rushing, and all that thing. I said, okay, you see, a little hiccup in there. And I pray that there will be no hiccup for us to go in the rapture. Do you understand what I'm saying? And I pray even that there is no hiccup for the Lord to have any event that interrupts, that Christ will not come in the rapture sooner than all the time that it's supposed to come. We read in the book of Revelation chapter 10, that's what happened when the seven thunder uttered their voices and John was about to write, and God said, don't write it, John. Seal it up. And that's what the angel was. Well, the angel wasn't happy, that so to speak, in the vision that John saw to depict what's happening. And he said, in the days of the voice of the seven angels, when he began to sound, the mystery of God went, so no longer did it. It went closed up. It would be finished. You know. So we expected that. I want that the timing, if the Lord will show us and DVD is it, we're looking for. Now last week we look at how that it is important that life cannot come without the spoken word. Nothing whatsoever can bring life. Nothing but the spoken word of God can bring life. It is what gives the life. Any kind of life. God speaks the word, and here will be whatever he spoke. If he said, let there be a fish will come to life. Let there be a tree, then will be a tree. If a man is sick, and he speaks the word, that man will walk, or rise up from his bed. The man has no eye, God speaks the word, and the eyes will appear. All life must come by the spoken word. So we know that last week we finished with that, and we have seen how that from even the word of Brother Branham concerning the seven thunders, concerning the seven seals. But right now I want to share with you how important the spoken word is. And when I look at the life of Brother Branham said, and we know that there are five experiences of the manifestation of the spoken word in the life of Brother Branham. When God actually asked him to speak the word, they were happened exactly as it was spoken. So the first time that he had this experience was he went out with two Christian men in a little boat out there in the river, and they were fishing. And you know that after a while there was a little tug on his line, and he pulled out his fishing line. And what he had at the end of the line was a little fish. Now there must be a very greedy fish. Opened his mouth so big, and the hook was even bigger than the fish, it seems, that he bite on it. The brother Bob tried to remove it. Now in America, you know, you cannot just catch fish any size you want and bring it home. There are certain sizes that you can only take home and cook. If it's small, if its leg is not of that size or more, you have to throw it back. So brother was trying to unhook that hook from the mouth of the fish. But somehow, when he pulled it out, the guts came out. So he sorry to the fish and he threw it. So the fish dropped into the water and he flip, 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 and then he turned upside down. You know, fish? It's floating. So they continued fishing. And after a little while, the Spirit of God spoke to Brother Branham. And then he said to the two men, he said, "You're going to witness a resurrection." And God told him to speak to the fish. And he says, "Fish, I give you life." The fish took on his back, up, back, belly, down again, you know, and started to swim away. And the second time was when a man went out hunting. Well, it was not a squirrel season. It would appear to be there was, you know. So there was no squirrel in sight at that time. So, well, you know, Brother Bram was there. Anyway, and the Lord spoke to him and said, "Well, give me to speak. How many do you want? How many squirrels do you want?" Brother Bram says, "I want 3. And God says, "All right, you want 3? Just speak the word." And he spoke the word, and a squirrel be there, and he shot it. Then another one he spoke, and the squirrel was there, and he shot it. Then he was about to walk away, and God spoke to him and said, "Didn't you ask for 3? And he said, "All right, let this squirrel hop from here, here, here," and he shot it. The third time was when he was invited to a home. I think it was Sister Hattie Wright's home. If I remember correctly, Sister Hattie Wright. A woman, a very godly, elderly sister in the faith who, a blessing to Brother Branham's ministry. And he was invited to a home for a meal. And there was some brother and sister also in the room. So they were sitting down and eating. And Sister Hattie Wright's two children, two boys, was outside the home and outside the door, and the family in the room was discussing, the believers were discussing about the Lord, talking about the gospel, and they were just laughing and making fun. You know, and Sister Hattie Wright was so upset, there's just no respect, young boy. And then the Lord put something on Brother Branham to speak the word, then grant her request. So Brother Bram asked, tell her, I said, "Sister had to write." Oh, because Brother Bram was talking. You know, he was talking about something, I think about his experience about what the Lord said about speaking life. And Sister had to write, said, "That's right. That's the truth. Nothing but the truth. Because the spoken word is that what brings life." And Brother Bram at that time felt the Spirit of God came upon him and told him, "Ask her what she wants and give it to her." So Sister, Brother Bram said, "Sister, what do you want? I will give it to you." You know, and Brother Bram said, If you want $1 million, I put $1 million right now on the table. Sister Abigail Wright says, why do I need the money? I don't need the money. And Brother Abraham said, what about your sister who was having polio or something, or some kind of affliction, I can't remember now. You know, he's dying. So you can ask for healing. And she said, if I ask for healing, she gets well, then she still has to die. And then she said, there's one thing I want. And Robin said, what is it? The salvation of my two boys. And Brother Abraham said, it is granted to you. And he spoke the word, and those two boys out there fell on their knees and repented. What a power the spoken word is. That's number three. And the fourth one was when Brother Abraham was up in the mountain in the wilderness up there, you know, hunting and all that, camping. And all of a sudden there was a report on the radios, a little radio they normally carry with them, and there was a storm coming. You know. And usually when there's a storm warning, people have to get out of the place and find some place to shelter. And so, there was a storm brewing that direction coming towards them. And Brother Abraham was standing there, and the Lord gave him the power of the spoken word again. And he commanded the storm to disappear and the sun to shine. And in fact, it was reported, I was told, that the weatherman was surprised. I said, what happened to the storm? You know. Then the fifth one, this is the last and the final one the Brahman had when God told him, speak the word. And it was his wife who had a tumor in the left ovary. And Brother Abraham prayed for her, the church had prayed for her, the ovary still had that tumor. So, the doctor was consulted and the doctor planned the date of the operation. So you know what, they were preparing her for the operation when the Lord came upon, the Spirit of God came upon Brother Abraham to speak to her. And he said this, before the surgeon's knife touches her, they will disappear. So she was wheeled into the hospital and for the surgery. They had an old x-ray all there, and they had to take a new x-ray to see and compare whether how big the tumor is, where it might have moved, whatever. So they took an x-ray. And the doctor, the surgeon, looking at it, said, did we make a mistake somehow? So, you know, there was nothing there. You know, they looked at the whole world, it was there, they knew what it wasn't. So there was the five times that Brother Bam has this experience. Now, when Brother Bam relate this five experience in his message, entitled, Look Away to Jesus. He said this, just as sure as the first and second pools were identified, so the third pool has been identified. Now you know, Brother Bam's ministry, he was commissioned to preach. He had three pools. The first pool is of the first time, he will hold a person's hand. And he could look at his own hand and his hand would change color. People don't see, only he see. You know. So if I look at his hand, as you hold the hand of the person who to be prayed for, he could tell what disease this person is suffering from. Not long after that, this first pool is gone, is replaced by the second pool. And that is, they just look at a person waiting for the Holy Spirit or the angel of the Lord to come and show him what's in that person. What is the need of the person? What sickness the person was suffering from? That was the second pool. Now, you know that the Moses have this pool also. But the first one, it was when he put his hand and take it out, become lepers. Put it back again, take it out, become normal. The second one is when he cuts the rod to demonstrate the power of God. But now when we talk about Branham's third pool, what was that third pool? And he does, as he says, when he's relating to these five experiences of the spoken word, he says, just as sure as the first pool and the second pool were identified. Right? We know what they were, and then he says, so the third pool has been identified. What is it? Speaking of the word. And he said, when the squeeze comes down, then you will see what you have seen temporarily to be manifest in the fullness of its power. And that's why we are looking for the revival. There have to be the spoken word again in manifestation. Now we have the three phases of the parousia of Christ. The first, the message came, the voice shouted, the spoken word is given, come out of her, my people. So we got out the first pool, out from the system. Then we entered into the second phase. Now we are hearing the spoken word ministry in the fivefold, to where the word of God is being preached, taught, to feed the people, so that the people in hearing, they will understand, if they have the ear to hear, what the Spirit of God says to the churches. Are you following me so far? Now that we are in the second phase, we are waiting for the church. It has also been spoken word. But this time when it ends, the seals, the seventh one, in all its fullness. When seven thunderous voices must be uttered. So that he will bring forth a manifestation that what was shown in Brother Abraham's ministry, temporarily as people have known it. And there are other ministers who have experienced the spoken word, like God has given me just one time to experience it, to hear that three words, speak the word. You know, Brother Abraham, in his ministry, he talks about this spoken word thing. That's why his books are entitled The Spoken Word. But he related to the third pool, and then the opening of the seals, the coming of the word, the tenth vision, the sword of the Lord, the seventh seal, and the seven thunders. Huh? The third pool. He talked about the spoken word. He talked about the opening of the seal, how the word came to him. Alright? And then he talked about the vision that he had. Right? That it was a big cathedral. And there were a lot of people packed in that cathedral, the tent. And even the people had to queue outside the tent, but inside the cathedral the people were packed. But there was a platform there in the tent, and on top of the platform was a little room. And he was caught up in his vision, a vision to look at it from above. And he saw men that were crippled, walking in with crutches, came out the other end, holding the crutches up. Men on wheelchair going in, came out pushing their own wheelchair. Sick and lame walking in, came out whole. And the angel told him, I will meet you in there. He said, when I went in there, whatever is happening there, what was told to me, what was said to me, I will keep it a secret. I will meet you in the little room. What's in the little room? Huh? We've got to get into the Kupa, into the second phase right now, until we become a cocoon. And then something phenomenal is going to happen. And then talk about the sword of the Lord. And you know what the sword of the Lord is? The word of God is a double-edged sword, the sword of the king, he said. And he mentioned the connection with the seventh seal, the seventh one, and also the seven thunders. And his one thing he said, he felt certain that the seventh thunder would give the bride the rapturing faith. So how far are we now in this period of time? I want to present this to you this afternoon. What are you going to see on the screen? If you remember back some years ago when Brother Nonay was here, and he was sharing with us a message. I can't remember the title of his message. But he had the chart that he presented on the wall about the night watch. And then he used that chart to show some significance. Now, when I was studying last few days and looking at the patterns of the 50, the 70, the 120, and all 40s, and all these various ones, and I recorded a chart, and I decided to present it to you in a way that you may be able to understand simple. So that when we continue with our study, what did you see? Whether you're excited or not? Well, I can't tell you I'm so excited. Because what are we looking at? We're looking at when Christ is going to come. We do not know, as Jesus said, no man knows the day and the hour. Or we're roughly, maybe we know the year. Maybe, just maybe that year we couldn't understand. Maybe even the month. But as to the exact day, I don't think we know. You've only been known the day when you see the thunders on the saints. Right now, let's have this chart on the wall. Now, this is the chart that was drawn by Brother Nonay, you know. And this is the chart that you can find perhaps online as to the night watches. Now, we have in the Bible, we understand that from the book of Genesis, that when God created the heavens and the earth, and you know what the Bible said, the evening and the first day, the evening and the morning were the first day. The evening and the morning were the second day. So, the evening and morning, so they are in the Jewish concept, or in the way that God looked at time, is the evening comes first, then the day. Darkness was there to begin with when the Spirit of God began to move. He said, let there be light. And there was light. Now we count time as the day from midnight. But the Jew is at 6 p.m. the day before. So actually we are 6 hours ahead. So to the Jew, time began at 6 p.m. from sunset. Why? Because you need to go to sleep first before you can work. People say, I work first, I'm tired, I go to sleep. Sleep first and get some strength and then work. So from 6 p.m. onward to the next morning, 6 a.m. is what we call the evening. Alright? From 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. it is called the light or the day. So now the Bible is divided into two watches. One is called the night watch, the other one is the day watch. You understand? Okay, so what we have here, we are going to present the night watch because it's the event that we're looking at. Alright, so now the night watch has this four portions: the evening, midnight, darkness, and morning. So now this is called the night watch. But the night watch begins here, as you know, the point here, what we have, the 6 p.m. Alright? So we have 9 p.m., sorry. Then we have the midnight. Then over here, we have, of course, 3 a.m. Right? So now, it is called the night watch. Why do we call it the night watch? If you go and read the Bible now, you can turn to the Bible and read this if you want to. Isaiah chapter 21, verse 11 to 12. But I'm extracting this particular
statement to try to give you an idea.
Watchman, what of the night?
The watchman said, the morning cometh and also the night.
Now this is King James
translation. It's pretty nice, I like it.
Watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night? That is to say, watchman, how is the night? Is the light coming? Is the day coming soon? And the watchman said, the morning cometh, also the night.
Because when the morning comes, the night follows after that.
But there is a play of the word. People think that they are walking in the light, but they are walking in darkness sometimes, also in this hour. Is that not true?
Yes.
Because it's the Laodicean age. Oh, now we want to put a Laodicean church age here. But why the Laodicean age? Why the Laodicean age?
Now we look into the Bible. We can look into further and we'll see.
1906. We begin 1906 as the evening time starting.
But you say, Brother Gale, why put 1906? Interesting enough, it could be 1903.
Alright, but we look. 1906. Here we have the expression from the chart, the seventh church age. Now, 1903 is the date commonly taken by chronologists, or we would say people who study history, because 1903 is actually the year where people or Christians from different denominations are coming together and God is starting to do a work. And the Spirit of God began to pour out. But why 1906 is picked by Brother Branham? Because Clarence Luckey, this number 1903 was taken by Brother Branham from Clarence Luckey's book, Dispensation. Why 1906? Simply because 1906 is a well-known year when American experienced in Azusa Streets, California, when the Holy Spirit was poured out upon a lot of Christian people who were gathering together for prayer, seeking the Lord, because they wanted to know why the church lacked the power and Christians are not living the Christian life. There are men and women from different churches, different denominations. News spread and the people are coming together in the White House, in the garage, and they start praying. For 1903, when God was stirring up the people, 1906 was the year the phenomena something started in Azusa Street in the States. The Holy Spirit was poured out on that year. And women and men began to speak in tongues. It was so, keep on speaking in tongues. If you want to know about that early history, go and buy the book. They Spoke with Other Tongues by Charles Parham. It's an exciting book to read about. The man who wanted to gather the people together had been studying the book of Acts. And because of his working, he says, I'm going to leave and I'm going to come back after several weeks. And I want you people, brothers, just to read the book of Acts. And when I come back, I want you to know, if you can tell me, what's so special about the book of Acts. He came back and he all says, we all found one thing in common very often. They spoke with other tongues. And the Spirit gave them utterance. He said, that's what I found. And one of his sisters said, why don't you lay hand on me? Just what they did in the early church. And they lay hand on her. And immediately she began to speak in other tongues. And they were excited. And then the Holy Spirit began to move. Everyone started to speak in tongues. And then God began to give them the gift. They went out there, prayed for the sick. Sick were healed. And then God gave them prophecy and visions and dreams. That's how Pentecostal in modern 20th century started. That was the year.
that we that Garlanden picked, and it's a well known year in Pentecostal movement.
So 1906, that's what we think. Laodicean age. And why Laodicean age? Because we are living in Laodicean age. Because this is the last of the seven church ages. And it is evening time. We know it's a situation of evening time. Wow, look at this. 2 Peter chapter 3, 1 to 11. Let's read it. 2 Peter 1 to 11. And we want to look at now from the Bible, looking at the timeline. 2 Peter chapter 3, 1 to 11. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you in bold, which I stirred up your pure mind by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostle of the Lord and Savior. You see here, talking about what happened that was spoken of by the prophet. Huh? And now the apostles. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers, walking after their own lust, saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For these they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word are kept in store reserved unto fire, against the day of judgment and perditions of ungodly men and women included. Don't think it's just only for the men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. And the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burnt out. Remember that, man, that all that which is on earth will be burnt out in the days when Christ consumed everything. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation of life, in all holy life and godliness? So we take this chapter and let us look at this particular verse. One day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Creation days, 6 days, right? Sabbath, rest, one day. Man's are 6,000 years. Christ, 1,000 years. Because when Christ comes, he is going to have his reign for 1,000 years. There will be peace on this earth. The earth will go through a period of rest. But now the earth is struggling, prevailing because of man's 6,000 years. Man has damaged this earth and has gotten worse for the last few years. And now they are so desperate. Oh, let us come together and try to do about this global warming and the climate changes. All these hypocrites out there. That's become a problem. See, the earth belongs to God. But man
with all this worldly system that they have set up, only damage it. They are greedy for money, they are corrupt. You understand? No wonder the earth is travailing. I wanted to be free. Release me.
Jubilee year.
I would say, what is a Jubilee year?
What is a Jubilee year? Now we all heard about the Jubilee. So let us look into this chapter. The chapter is Leviticus 25:8.
We'll read it.
Leviticus 25:8-30. It says, and thou shalt number.
Now, I think it's better that we turn to the Bible, though. That you know where your Leviticus is. Next time when you don't turn to the Bible and know where Leviticus is, you say, oh, I think Leviticus chapter 23, verse 8 to 13 is here in the church building on the wall. Alright? Chapter 23 and verse 8 to verse 13. 25, I beg your pardon. Chapter 25, verse 8 to 13. And thou shalt number seven Sabbaths of years. Now, seven Sabbaths of years. Unto you, seven times 7 years. And the space of the seven Sabbaths of years shall be unto you 49 years. So, of course, seven Sabbath, and each Sabbath that you come to must be 7 days, right? So 7 times 7, 49. Then thou shalt cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. In the day of atonement shall you make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. And you shall hallowed the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and you shall return every man unto his possession, and you shall return every man unto his family. A jubilee shall that 50th year be unto you. You shall not sow, you shall not reap that which grow of itself in it, nor shall you gather the grapes in it of your own vineyard undressed. For it is the Jubilee, it shall be holy unto you. You shall eat the increase thereof of the field. In the year of this Jubilee, you shall return to every man his possession. Interesting. Interesting. And I want you to look very closely what I've highlighted. You might want to underline the Bible. The trumpet of the Jubilee. The 50th year. Liberty. Return every man unto his possession, and you shall return every man unto his family. A jubilee shall that 50th year be unto you. You shall neither sow nor reap, neither shall you reap that which grow of itself in it, nor gather the grapes in it of thy vineyard undressed. In the year of this jubilee, his possession. Looking at this verse, what do you have when you compare that to these two verses, these two passages of scripture? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 to 18, and 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 51 to 53. If you turn that to your Bible and look at these two passages of Scripture and see whether there's any pattern regarding this in Leviticus chapter 25, what do you see in those two passages of Scripture in the New Testament where Paul wrote about it? Here in the Leviticus, it's at the trump of the Jubilee. And you read in the book of 1 Thessalonians.
the trump, or the last trump. Is that right? Isn't it true? There's going to be a trumpet sound. Of course. Brother Jimmy and his ram horn here. Now, that is the what is happening in Israel. Now, what happened in Israel in the natural is going to reflect the church in the spiritual. Is that right? You understand me? Natural Israel type the church as the spiritual Israel. So we have a trump, and we are looking for the last trump. Amen? Okay. What do you have here? So the 50th year. Okay, that's a jubilee. That's the 50th year. Good. Now he says here, return every man unto his possession, and he shall return every man unto his family. So what do you find in Thessalonians, and what do you find in Corinthians? In those two passages, 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 to 18, and 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and to 53. Huh? Now, the 50th year is a jubilee. It's a year that anyone who have servants, the servant goes free, goes back to his family, goes back to his possession, his property. Hey, we are going back to a family. Are we not family of God? We are going to go back and join hand with all those saints that have gone before us and those saints that be resurrected, right? We are all going to be restored back as a whole family of God. Amen. And we are going to, as he said, you shall return every man unto his possession. You know what? I don't have a possession here on earth. Now, if you want to have the possession on earth, you will never make it to your possession that you originally had, that God had given you. My possession is in heaven. None of this earth. You care about so much about this life on this earth, you're going to lose it. We can sing a song, this world is not my home, I'm just passing through. That's what Abraham was passing to all those villas land. You know. They're pilgrims. Remember Abraham. The spiritual son of Abraham. The land of Canaan wasn't his. Spiritually. The land of Canaan. You're looking for the city. Remember. Not built with hands. Remember. The land of Canaan was for his seeds. There will be a natural people of Israel that will have the kingdom on this earth when Christ comes to reign. You understand what I'm saying? What was Abraham's possession? Huh? When God came out, he was looking not for the land of Canaan. He was looking for the holy city, New Jerusalem. Are you following me? Are you seeing that mystery that's tied to it? Huh? And we are the family of God. And the promise was given to Abraham. And Abraham, he is my spiritual father. I will be restored back to the family of Abraham, that is the spiritual one. Because Paul said, not all Israels are Israel. Not all Israel belongs to Abraham's faith. Do you understand? So Paul said, it's not a circumcision of the foreskin, of the flesh, of the, you know. It is a circumcision of the heart. A true Israelite. A true believer. A true Jew is not one that is physical. A true Hebrew who descends from Abraham is not one that is physical. not the shedding of blood in the foreskin, but the circumcisions of the spirit in the heart. And you become a children of Abraham. And I'm going home to meet Abraham. You understand? I'm going home to possess the what belongs to me. I have a home in glory land that outshines the sun. Do you have a home? That's my property up there. My possessions up there. My possession of eternal life. The crown of salvation and so on and so forth. Do you see this? 50. The Jubilee. It's a release year. And the release year is coming soon. Do you get it? And what else is here we see? It says, a Jubilee shall be the 50th unto you. You shall not sow nor reap, nor gather grapes. Means you rest. 50th year is a year you rest. Don't go out and sow. And when the Jubilee comes for us, what work to do? There's no more work to do. We find our rest. It's our Sabbath. Do you understand? Okay? How do you can see this? Now we go back here again. We have the creation day. 6 days. Sabbath got rushed one day. So man's here 6,000. After the 6,000 is over, then Christ will come to reign. So how far are we from the day that God put Adam? 6,000, you take 6,000 years. You take the Jubilee, 50. How many years, how many Jubilee will we have passed if you count to 6,000? 6,000 is equal to 50 times 120. Am I not right? 120 Jubilee years will have passed when 6,000 years is complete. So what do you notice about these two numbers? No, we're not finished with that. Long way to go. We're just looking at numbers now. See what God is showing. All that which God had done, even as I said before, the feast of Jehovah, the seven feasts, and Christ fulfilled the first, the second, the third, and the fourth. And He's come back to fulfill the rest. And when the time is set for Him to fulfill, He fulfilled according to the time that God commanded. Now you talk about God stickling. God is a stickler of time. He sticks to time. And that's why I don't know how about some of us, brothers and sisters, we don't stick to time. We let us stick to time. When God calmed down and He pressed the button, that's it. It's on time. God is never too early. He's never too late. You know. And that's why in the book of Genesis, you know, when Adam and Eve committed sin, instead of the usual place where they meet God at a certain time, they went hiding themselves among the trees. So when God went and came down, He couldn't find them in the place that they usually meet. So God went hunting for them, walking through the whole Garden of Eden, says, Adam, where are you? You know, the time when the rapture is going to come, and the time comes, you don't expect God to look out for you. Catching a bus, wait for me! Wait for me! You know how in those days, maybe here today, we don't usually run after a bus now. But in those days, my time, where the bus that have no aircon is open, and people are clinging on to the door, staying at the door, you know. And you see the bus, and they have kids up there trying to jump on it, holding, hopefully they don't fall. Get under the wheel of the bus. Don't run after chasing and say, wait for me. Be on time.
That is 120 jubilees. Interesting. Now, from Adam, the day that Adam was created, to the day that Abraham was born, it's about 2,000 years. 2,000 years! How many jubilees is that? 40 jubilee years. Abraham was the father of all mankind. About the father of man, we will say. Not the father of us all. Okay. Abraham was the father of our faith. For not all who call upon Abraham have the faith. Got it? Abraham to Christ. 2,000 years. Yes? Simple, huh? Correct? Jesus Christ came 0. AD or BC, whatever you want to put. So, 4,000 years gone. Next, Christ to the rapture. 2,000 years. Hey, Brother Gunn, something is wrong here somewhere. Sure, something is wrong. Something is wrong, huh? From Christ to the rapture, 2,000 years, but here we are, 2015. We are coming to 2016. What happened? What happened? You forgot your verse? Second Peter. Huh? Second Peter, the verse that we read early on. What do we read over in that verse? In verse 9. You see, people are saying that, oh, in the verse, verse 4. And people are saying, where is the promise of his coming? It's already 2016 is coming. Now, you people are talking nonsense, man. You people are cut off following Jesus Christ. What Jesus? There's no such thing as Jesus. You're all blind. You all follow all these things and give all your money to the church and the pastor took it all. And you know what people will say? 2,000 years. But now we are 2015, 2016 coming up. But yet in verse 9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but the long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Now that made me wonder about Revelation 10. Why did God told John, don't write it, seal it up? Huh? And the mighty angels, he said, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God will be finished. My coming will no longer delay. Oh yeah, what time is it now? Huh? So, 15 years past 2000. But again, oh wait a minute. When Jesus came, you see here in Abraham, he was promised. Not Adam to Abraham, yes, because when Abraham was born, he was about 2000. But the promise that was God given to him in Abraham when he was 75, nothing happened. Then only at the age of 100, Abraham had the promise. So why did God delay? For 24 years before Sarah found herself pregnant. And only on the 25th year of God's promise, upon the age of 100, Abraham had son. Huh? So what did God delay? Let me ask you, if God doesn't want to come, or Christ doesn't come in the next few years, and God says, I'm going to come in another 30 years, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Good number. You see, God doesn't tell us anything. Abraham believed the promise of God. And he staggered not in unbelief. No matter what all the difficult things, he believed. Year after year, he believed. God ever said that, Abraham, I'm going to give you a promise now that you're 75. I'm going to give you a son. And you will be a son only at 100. That'd be nice, huh? It was, oh, 100 years now I get a son. Okay then, no problem. I can relax. But see, if God tells us when he's coming, that when Jesus is coming back, you know what you're going to do? I can see what you're going to do. Let me enjoy life a little bit. Let me go to Japan and eat more sashimi. Or let me go to Italy and eat more spaghetti. Or let me do this and let me do that. I think that's what people have in mind. That's why sometimes when I was talking to people who are Christian, they said, no, Christ is not coming so fast, you know, this and that. God, I'm still, why? I said, why? I'm still young, you know. Still a long way for me to go. And people like you and me, Brother Gandhi and Brother Henry, and we're all dying. We're getting old. We're going to get sick. Who wanted Christ to come early? Quicker. You see, that's the problem. God never tells us anything until the time comes. But he tells us that Jesus Christ is coming back. And he never tells Abraham at what age he's going to have a son. He said, Abraham, I'm going to give you a son. And I'm making you a father of many nations. I don't know, I tell you, if God speaks to us, then people will think he's kidding. You know what I mean? To believe that I'm going to be a father of many nations. And a father of a son, a father of a nation is enough to be a father of many nations. That is terribly big, awesome. Isn't it? Yes. So now, you see, if you look at Christ when he came, he made a new covenant with a disciple, right? At the age of 33 and a half. So are we going to stop from there? Or you going to stop from there? You're going to minus 33. Then what? Well, maybe you have 33 years more to go or something like that. Oh no, 33 minus the 50. So we have another about 18 years to go. Maybe, yeah, we have 18 years to go. Then what happened? Brother Henry said, no man, no deal, man. Huh? You understand what I'm saying? But when God is not so according to his promise, he promised it, he come. The reason why is he is shaking the time a little bit because he has concern for those who are in the bad state, backsliding. He wants to build their faith. Huh? Why did those people in Africa, all those who have been against my ministry, say all kinds of things after so many years? When they came across the book, now their eyes are open. They said, we want to know more. I remember Brother Bito, I told Brother Nice, was angry, but Brother Nice has sinned. What did you tell me this? You know, I was there with Brother Nice. He was there. We talked about the message and all this thing. He didn't get it. Brother Nice went by the second time and he was there to Brother Manshaw with all this minister. And the other day he left to the airport. This brother went with him to the airport. Brother said, take this book and read it. I don't know what book he gave him. And then after that, a few days later, it seems, Brother Nice said, the brother called him up, says, I was very angry with him. So why didn't you tell me this? Why don't you tell me this? Brother Nice said, we have been trying to tell you. You know, we're trying to tell people the truth. But they have a hear. They hear not. It only takes the miracle of God and grace of God to wake the person up. Do you understand what I'm saying? I knew Brother Branham, his ministry, but I never heard him preach. I never have a message from him. All I know is about the miracles, the thing that he was doing. I didn't know that he had the message. Back in the 60s when he was still alive. And here when I came, when he was 71, after he passed away for 5 years, or 6 years, then the message came. Why? Because you know it wasn't time, I guess, for me. Watchman. Now, what of the night? What of the night? The watchman said, the morning cometh. And the night also. Okay, that's it now. In closing of this, 1 hour 6. We start from here, as you said. What's so special about this year? 1 hour 6. Now, if this, my watches, you know, it's 12 hours. So each part is 3 hours. Is that right? Got it? Okay. So,
We add 30 years. Now you must wonder why you add 30 years. That means 1 hour is 10 years. This is a chart because we are looking at a specific unusual phenomenon on dumbbells. Okay, so 1936, 1966, and 1996. And you come right down to the bottom, will be 2026. Okay, alright. So it's 120 years. Watch. Zechariah 14:6. What does Zechariah 14:6 say? Anybody knows? Alright, let's read. If you don't, let us read. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 6. And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark. Now, the matter this book of Zechariah is for the Jew, not for us, but we are only taking types and shadows. Remember that. All the book in the Old Testament belong to the Jew. Likewise, the New Testament, only that the Christian Gentile has been grafted in, so it is for us. But Old Testament are all for the Jew, except the prophecy that mentioned about the light that comes to the Gentile. And also I spoke about Malachi, of God turning the heart, because it deals with the gospel. So now it says here, it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark. That is, in the days when Christ returned for Israel, this will be the condition. But we are taking that to see a picture. So, we are now in 1906, beginning from here. And I said that 1906 is the time when the Christian were living under all this denomination, kind of powerless, neither this way, neither that way, neither light, neither darkness, the kind of dismay. Like, oh, you look at what's going on even today. History will repeat itself. The morning cometh, the night also. Look at the churches. What are they? They say they are living the light, but they are sometimes in the darkness, in the great, in the gray shade. They don't know what's what. You turn about Godhead, now they don't understand. You turn about baptism in Jesus, now they don't understand. You turn about the serpent sin, now they don't understand. That's not important. What is important is in the heart. You know, I feel very sorry for these people. They said, we live by grace, we live by grace, we live by grace. I say you make the grace of God, and it's grace. You can only say it with your mouth, you live by grace. You take the grace of God, what do you do to it? That's what you did to it. The same with the Branhamites, exactly. You know, the website you have to, on the internet you have two websites. One called Seek the Truth. The other, Believe the Sign. Men who came to the message but turn around and start attacking Brother Branham. And wrote an article about Branham and falling forth with his words, falling forth with his statement. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. And you Branhamite up there. Brother Branham was human and human big mistakes. And I will tell you that, look at all his sermons. There will be a lot of discrepancies in his speech. Don't twist my word. I said, the Brother Branham had false doctrine. I said, discrepancy in his speech. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, John 1:2. That's the kind of discrepancy I'm talking about. When you said the wrong word, after the wrong verse. You know, the Bible with all these things about his commission. Why was the year that God gave Brother Branham a commission? Abraham said 1946. Another time later, he said 1947. And people are criticizing. Let me tell you something. I came to the mansion 1971. That year I remember. The month, I don't remember. You understand? I remember I went to India in 1981. But as to the month, April, I remember. When in April? I don't. Because I don't think so much about all the precise date. Barbara one time saying was such and such a date and such and such a month in 46. Next time he says such and such a month and a different one in 47. So what's the big deal? You want to find fault? The devil give you plenty to find. What are you hearing? What are you hearing? Are you hearing the word of God? Are you hearing to find fault? You can sit down here and give a sermon. And there are a lot of errors in what he said. Maybe wrong words and things like that. What are you hearing? Are you going to find fault with that? Are you going to hear what the Spirit is going to tell him? Or is getting across to you? That's why we see all this thing going on. Do you understand? So this is what happened. In 1906, it was a time when there was neither day nor night. And then the Pentecostal outpouring came about. Do you understand? That was the time when the Spirit of God poured forth upon the people the baptism. Give them a revival. Let me look again. Zechariah 14:7. Zechariah 14:7 now said, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day, not night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. This is the evening time. From 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. The evening time. But at the evening time it shall be light. Because there's one day in the evening time that begins. There's neither day nor night, because this is the morning. Morning is turning to evening. Neither day nor night, because it's a transition. Then at evening time it shall be light. What light are we talking about here? 1933. What's 1933? Ohio River. But what's an Ohio River? That is what we have. A void that spoke from the pillar of fire over Brother Branham. June 33, Ohio River, Jeffersonville, Indiana, up there. And the voice of the Lord spoke to him as he was baptizing, I think the 17th person, I'm not remember. And John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of the Lord. So are you sent with a message to forerun his second coming? That is 1933. The light is now coming. You got it? Yeah. But what we have after the light, Brother Bam stopped preaching. Yes, 33, he was given this, but he liked to call about the commission, 46, and then he referred to the healing. Then 47, he's talking about going out, something like that. So I guess, you know, people don't remember all this detail, but he tried to really collect and all that thing. So this is not important to me. But I feel very sorry for those two men who are finding all these things, putting all along articles on a website. Feel very sorry for him. But from 1953 onwards, Brother Branham started to preach the word very strongly. 53, 54, 56, the word of God going out. The midnight cry. And that is Matthew 25. Midnight cry, remember? Yeah. Until Brother Branham passed away in 1965. 1965, he passed away at the end of the whole year in December. Then, 1966. Is it a coincidence now that we are 1966 here? And that we have this date that is so close to here, the transit? Is it coincidence that we see a picture on this? That God shows a little here and there? God had brought unknown how he's using this chart. I knew it was good. Now I'm using this also to give a clear picture. In 1966, we are here now. Now, when in 1966, after Brother passed away, when the messenger is faded out, you know, the marriage is going to start. The midnight cry is already here. People enter into the marriage. Then, after he passed away, what do you have? The fivefold ministry begins. The cook out. And that's why we enter in to the Word of God. The cook out is the nuptial chamber. You got it? And in the cook out is the day star. My beloved is mine, and I'm his. And his power over me is love. Are you in the cook out with God? Are you in the cook out with Christ, your beloved?
That's light in here.
Outside is darkness. This is darkness. This is the darkest time. From midnight onward, it's the darkest time. This is the hour that they're always saying, watchman, watchman, what of the night?
Yes. What of the night? Is the day is coming? Oh, the day is coming for me.
For you, we are in a kupa. And we are inside there with the day star. But what on the outside? Outside, a great darkness. The cocks crowing, false preacher, liar, deceiver, wandering star, etc. You know, what time does a cock crow? If anyone were to tell me the cock crow at 6 o'clock, I'll knock you on the head. Because the cock doesn't crow at 6 o'clock. Cock crow at any silly time of the day and silly times of the night. They can crow any time. People think that they're crowing because the sun comes out. They say, "Cuckoo, I'm so happy, come here." No. Or you say, "Come on, get up, we have to buy to work." No. The cock crow at any time. And when Peter denied the Lord Jesus Christ, what time was it? Do you remember? Come on. You forgot. What time did they take the pastor? What time was he arrested? And throughout the whole night he was going through? It was after midnight. The cock crow. Three times. Cock crow here, cock crow here, everywhere the cock crow. You just imagine that, huh? And this is the darkest time. But if you are outside of the world, what do you have? This cock crowing is a false preacher. They just go around cock crowing. They're crowing here and there. Oh, Brother Abraham, he's the absolute Brother Abraham. You know, he teaches these. There are two souls. You know, oh, Brother Abraham is coming back again and he's going to have the return ministry. Oh, William Branham, Brother Branham, he is the Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? The seven virtues and the seven thunders. The man who is now the one taking over, Brother Branham, is so-and-so over there in South America. Or is the one out there in USA. And the one out there in India. Well, there are plenty out there in India too, you know. So they have all this cock crowing, all these preachers, they are all crowing falsely. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay, now let's continue. So all the way from 1966, you know, that Norbert about the two vines, in a second, you can see one in the Branhamite churches. Now what we have? The morning cometh and also the night. Continue. There are two paths. One, people that is in the light, the other is in the darkness. When the morning comes, the night also comes soon after. When Barnum did the message, it was clear. But you know, after he passed away, not very long after that, everybody had their own idea going this way and going that way. Oh yes, and that's a Brother Jackson pulled away from that. And that's why in Singapore, when I've been here 2 years in the message after that, I pulled away. As God dealt with Brother Jackson to enable him to see, there are all these out there are falsely crowing. And God made me to see the same thing. Do you understand? Alright, so what happened now? What are we at? We're 2015. Right? So if you have a middle part here, it's 10 years, 10 years, 30 years. So we are somewhere here. Somewhere here. Alright, somewhere here. So we're not far. We're 2015. A few more days. 2016, and I'm getting to be 68. Ah. Alright, what's so special about 2017? That's the year, I'll tell you something. Brother Tony Rohana, remember he had a vision? He's going to write that for me, and I'm going to share with you later on when he's finished. 2017 is the year that he said, the Lord showed him, the California earthquake will start. The month, I won't tell you now. The date, I won't tell you either now. But interestingly, all lot of Christians, as I said before, who are looking for the coming of the Lord, they have been studying Scripture, they only conclude one place, 2017. Why did God show it to them too? You see, God is gracious. But someone is saying that they can miss it by 2 years, 2019. Huh? Okay. How many years left from here to here, 2026? How many years? If you take that away from 2026, 7 years, right? Huh? The transition period for the tribulation to finish up, 2026, before Christ comes and takes over the earth. A coincidence? Are you looking at a picture? Is it a coincidence? No. And what about the generation? That Jesus said, this generation not passed away until all these things be fulfilled. Generation, people a lot of them are saying now is 70 years, which I should agree with them. Because that's what I have going back and concluded years ago. That 70 years must be the generation. 1948, Israel became a nation. Is that right? Okay, add 70 to it. 2018. 1967, Israel took back the old land, or old city. Huh? The soldier went in on the third day, they took over the city, and they proclaimed, we will rebuild Jerusalem. Just like what was spoken of to Daniel in the book of Daniel. To rebuild Jerusalem. 67, add 50 to it, a jubilee year. What do you get? 2017. Israel will go back to have the whole of that city to themselves, and Mount Moriah and all the temple will be built. Would it not be coincident? There are all these prophetic studies. That's all we have. And we have in all this 120 years. 120 years. Interesting number. What number is that? And God said to Noah. Oh, Lord didn't say to Noah, rather, but he said to himself. He said this. My spirit will no longer strike with man, for his day is numbered. 120 years. Right? Wow, God has been striving with man this whole century with Israel. And now for the church we are living in the evening time, God has given us this period. So 120. We're not far from home. We are going home. I don't know about you, brother. But don't say, oh brother, again, since Jesus is coming so soon, then I think I'll just retire, resign, enjoy myself in Hokkaido, Italy, Paris, or whatever. No. Live as a Christian, like tomorrow or today, Christ may come on to come back for you. And work and do and study as if you normally do as a Christian should be, as humans should be. As Abraham said, if you put a potato, just call it a potato. If you know the Christ is coming back. So when he comes back, you know that you are still continuing your potato. You understand? We should be found always at work, not being lazy. Sitting down and say, Lord, I'm waiting for you in this hammock on the beach of Sicily, on the beach of Marseille. No. You understand what I'm saying? So we are being watchful and waiting for the coming of the Lord. May the Lord bless you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing and asking you, Lord, that you take the word and break it down further, Lord, to our understanding. We are excited, Father, for your sending Jesus Christ back to us soon, Lord, and to take us back to
our family in heaven, to our possession that belong to us, O Lord, to where we shall be ever and forever be with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father. Bless the rest of the day. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.